Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin the 22nd Perek of Masechet Shabbos, and we're up to Perek Chaf Beis Mishnah Aleph. The first Mishnah is going to talk about if a barrel breaks, so you have to, you're allowed to save some of the contents of the barrel, but not all of the contents of the barrel, on Shabbos, and it's going to lead to a discussion about schita, about squeezing liquids from a sponge and juices that ooze from fruits. So let's begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chavish Nishpura Matzilin Emen Amazon Shalosh Su'udos. So if you have a barrel of food that breaks, you're allowed to save 3 meals worth of food from it on Shabbos. Meaning, this is assuming you haven't had any of your Shabbos meals yet, so you need to have 3 meals on Shabbos. Chayav Adam Lechol Shalosh Su'udos Shabbos. So it's similar to what we learned back in Perek Tazayin, that when there's a house that's on fire and you haven't yet had any of your Shabbos meals, it's still Friday night, you're allowed to save 3 meals worth of food for Shabbos. So you can't do more than that, because the Chum were worried that you might go grab whatever empty barrels and containers you can to be able to put the food in, and then you might carry those containers through a Rishus Harabim. So they were afraid that if you could just start scrambling in order to find as many containers as possible, you can end up carrying. Now, if you manage to find one big container that could hold all of the food, so then you could just use that one container and let it fill up with whatever was originally in the barrel. But by telling you that you're only allowed to save 3 sudos, so it's going to be less of a scramble. Similar to the case with the fire, you could tell other people, come and save 3 meals for yourselves as well. You could invite other people to come and save whatever food they want to get from the barrel, but they also are limited to only 3 meals worth of food that they're allowed to save. Ublavachlo yispog. However, if there's liquid in there, you have to be careful not to sponge up, not to use a sponge to soak up the liquid, because you might squeeze the liquid out of the sponge, and that's going to be a violation of schita on Shabbos, because schita is a question in Rishonim, what exactly it's a tolda of, whether it's mefarik, which is a tolda of dash, or is it related to libun. But when it's not water, when it's wine or something like that, then Tosfos in Maseches Ksubos points out it's got to be mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. So once we talk about squeezing liquid from a sponge, so the Mishnah talks about squeezing juice from a fruit, because that's also schita. Ain sochten as a peros lahotzi man mashkin. Now let us squeeze fruits on Shabbos to get the juice out of the fruits, because that's a tolda of dash. That's mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. But not only that, but even if juice oozed out of the fruits on its own, you're not allowed to drink the juice that oozed out of the fruits, and that's obviously only mitrabanan, because we're afraid that if we let you drink juice that oozes out of fruits, you might come to squeeze the fruits. Now, the Mishnah tells us, though, that that's not an absolute din. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Imla Chal Mayotzman Mutter. If the fruit is the kind of fruit that you typically eat, that you don't normally juice, so then whatever juice comes out of it is mutter. If it oozes out, but if it's a juice that's usually, if it's a fruit that's usually juiced, that's usually squeezed for its juice, then that whatever drips out is going to be usser, because even though we're concerned that if we allow you to have juices, you might come to squeeze it out, we're only concerned about that when it's the kind of fruit that is normally juiced. But if it's a kind of fruit that's not normally juiced, then there's limited concern. There's not it's not a major concern that you're going to start squeezing your cantaloupes just because you had a little bit of the liquid that's at the bottom of your fruit bowl from the cantaloupes. So then the Mishnah discusses, and if juice that oozes out of fruits is usser, what about honey that oozes out of a honeycomb? So the Mishnah says, we have a machlokas whether that's included in the usser as well. Chalos tevash shariskan meir of Shabbos. If you crushed up honeycombs before Shabbos, not the cereal, an actual honeycomb, v'yatsu me'at asurim, and then honey flows out of the crushed honeycombs on Shabbos, so it's asur to eat that honey on Shabbos, because then you might come to squeeze out more honey. But if Rebbe Lazar says that that's mutter, you're not going to go squeeze out more honey. The honey in a crushed honeycomb is going to come out on its own, so you're not going to bother trying to squeeze out more. But the Tanakhama says that it's asur, because Tanakhama thinks that we are concerned that you might come to squeeze out more from the honeycomb. So the same is true if you have a crushed up fruit that's oozing juices. The Gemara points out that a blazer allows the juice because it's already crushed, so you're not going to go squeeze more out of it, whereas Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, even if it's already crushed, we're afraid that you're going to go and squeeze out more. Okay, so that's Mishnah Aleph. Now Mishnah Beis moves to discuss Bishul. Mishnah Aleph was about Schita, so Mishnah Beis is about Bishul. Kol Shabbat B'chabim Meir of Shabbos. Anything that was cooked in hot water before Shabbos, Shor Noso B'chabim Shabbos. You're allowed to cook in hot water again on Shabbos. This is the closest the Mishnah comes to telling us the klal that is called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That once something has been cooked, cooking it again is not a violation of Bishul. It doesn't use that terminology, but that's what this means. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. V'kol shelo b'chamin meir of Shabbos, anything that wasn't cooked in hot water before Shabbos, madichin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos. So you're not allowed to cook it in hot water on Shabbos, but you're allowed to rinse it in hot water on Shabbos, meaning you could pour hot water over it, because even though the food is raw, pouring hot water over something is not going to cook it, because it's not a klirishon when you're pouring hot water over it. That's considered to be klisheni. So the Gemara explains that it means you're pouring hot water from a klisheni. So it's really iroi klisheni that we're doing over here, and not iroi klirishon, because iroi klirishon will actually we paskin as mevashel l'kadei klipa, so it actually will be mevashel a little bit, which would then be problematic. So if you're pouring out of a klisheni, you're allowed to pour boiling hot water out of a klisheni over a raw food. Chutz min amaliach hayashan. However, if you have old salted fish, which is what we would call kale habishal, something that's very easily cooked, it cooks very easily, v'dagim maluchim katanim, or small salted fish, v'kalyas hayispanim, or a Spanish type of sole, a certain type of fish, shahadachasun zuhi gemar malachdan, where all it needs in order to prepare it is to pour some warm water over it. So since these are kalei habishul, they get very they get cooked very easily with a minimal amount of heat, you're not allowed to cook them. You're not allowed to pour hot water over them on Shabbos. So again, two Mishnayos. Mishnah Aleph discusses if you have a barrel that breaks, you're only allowed to save three seudos worth. You can invite others to save three seudos worth as well, because we're afraid you're going to carry more kalim from Rosh Hashanah. And in that context, we mentioned you shouldn't sponge up liquids. Ooh, so that brought us to a discussion of schita. So we said you're not allowed to do schita of peros. You're not allowed to squeeze up peros to get the juices. And not only that, juices that ooze from peros on their own are usher, but Rabbi Yehuda said not if those peros are peros that are not normally juiced. And then we had a machlokas about honey that oozes from crushed honeycombs. Do we assume that that's usher as well, because you might come to squeeze the honeycombs? Or do we say that it's mutter? And then in Mishnah Beis, we say that it's mutter because it's already crushed anyway, and it's going to ooze out on its own. Mishnah Beis, we said that in Bishul Achar Bishul, something that's already cooked is not subject to the Isser of Bishul, but if something is raw, has never been cooked, you're allowed to pour hot water from a klisheni over it, unless it's Kalei HaBishul, unless it's something that gets very, very easily cooked, and then it's going to be a violation of Bishul, even when you pour hot water over it. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Peruchav Beis, Mishnah Gimel.